Welcome to Talks from the Bible, Revelation 3:20 through 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These words are addressed to the church at Laodicea by the Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Laodicea had become lukewarm. They had become self-sufficient. They claimed that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. Yet Jesus saw them as destitute of true riches. He saw them in need of His grace and His sufficiency. Even though they had become lukewarm and self-sufficient, Jesus Christ had not cast aside His church. He still urges them to come unto Him. He extends this wonderful plea to a people who had arrived at a point in their spiritual life when they felt no longer that they needed God and were in need of His redemption and grace. It is easy for us to arrive at such a place if we are not careful. We can become absorbed with the world. We can become involved in sin. We can see ourselves as people who do not need God, who certainly do not need the grace and love of God. But these words are addressed to the people of God. This plea is put forth to the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus declares unto them that He stands at the door and He knocks, and He desires that they open the door so that He might come in and sup with them. Even though they no longer saw a need for Him, He still understood that they needed Him, His grace, and His redemption. And so we are always in need of God's redemption. We will never arrive at a place in our life where we do not need God. But certainly as the Church of Jesus Christ, we ought to understand our dependence upon Him and our commitment to Him. Jesus said, "Open the door so that I might come in. I desire to renew your allegiance. I desire to receive you back into my fold. I know that you can overcome even as I have overcome." Jesus stands at the door of every human heart and knocks. Jesus pleads for entrance into the life of every single soul. Jesus desires that the whole of humanity come to know Him, love Him. The Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2 says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me." Jesus, as the Beloved, says to your heart and my heart, "Open to me." Jesus stands and knocks at the door of our heart because He cares. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Jesus cares about us. He cares about how we feel. He cares about the war that we fight. He cares about the difficulties that we experience. He cares about our thinking and the activity of our life. He cares about the direction in which we are traveling. Jesus Christ calls to us because He cares. He called to the church at Laodicea because He cared about them. He cared about their present relationship with Him. He cared about their soul and the destiny of that soul in the eternal world. Jesus Christ urges people to come unto Him and follow Him because He cares. He cares about you. He cares about the experiences of your life. He cares about the needs of your life. And He certainly and indeed cares about the needs of your soul. Jesus Christ knocks because He cares. Jesus stands and knocks at the door of your heart and my heart because He loves. He loves us. God loves us. God has created us in His own image. God has expressed His love for us through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:19, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God." The love of Christ passes knowledge. It certainly passes my understanding, and I believe that it passes your understanding. Jesus Christ came into the world from heaven. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived His life upon the earth. As He preached to humanity, He was scorned, ridiculed, rejected. There were times when they sought to kill Him. There were cities that asked Him not to enter their limits. There were people who cast Him aside. But Jesus Christ continued to love. Jesus Christ died for those in sin. Jesus lived without sin. His life was a life of absolute perfection in the presence of God. And yet He died for humanity. Such love cannot be understood. We can understand why a mother loves a child, why a father loves a son. We can understand why children would love their parents, even though those parents might reject them and treat them in a bad way. Jesus Christ loved us because even though we had sinned against Him and violated His will. The love of Christ passes knowledge, and yet we are to know that love. We can experience that love. That love has been expressed in the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, and surely in the death of Christ. Ephesians 5:2, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." Christ has loved us. The degree to which He has loved us is that He was willing to give Himself as an offering unto God, so that the penalty of sin in the mind of God, in the heart of God, could be satisfied. Jesus Christ offered Himself willingly and obediently for me and for you. Jesus Christ stands and knocks at the door of our heart because He loves us. Jesus Christ stands and knocks because of the sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2, "hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Sin demanded a sin offering. Jesus Christ was willing to become that offering. He offered Himself upon the mercy seat of God. He shed His blood as a sacrifice for my sin. He gave Himself in my stead. He accepted the penalty for my sin. God's wrath and anger was poured out upon Christ instead of upon me. The sacrifice of Jesus is the reason that He stands and knocks. This was a great sacrifice. This was a sacrifice of great price. Jesus Christ wants us to be saved because of the sacrifice that He has made so that we can be saved. We can come to know God through Jesus Christ. We can experience redemption through Jesus Christ. We can be reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ. We become the family of God, the friend of God, the children of God, the church of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also hath suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." Christ suffered for us. The death of crucifixion was a death of suffering. Jesus was beaten by Roman soldiers. His body was ripped by Roman whips. Jesus Christ was ridiculed and spat upon and mistreated. Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross and suspended between heaven and earth. The death of Christ took some 6 hours, and in all of those hours there was pain and suffering. There was ridicule hurled at him from those who gathered around the foot of the cross. He was looked upon with shame and with a despicable eye. Jesus Christ has made a sacrifice. He has suffered for us. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. He died this horrible death so that he could knock at the door of my heart and your heart and gain entrance into our heart so that we might sit with him and sup with him. Jesus Christ stands and knocks because of the gift. He comes bearing a gift. Romans 6:23, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Certainly God is not obligated to give us a gift. He certainly was not in our debt when he offered eternal life through Jesus Christ. Have you thought about eternal life? Do you think about a life that does not end, that does not cease to be, that continues on and on and on without any end? Can you imagine the sun rising and never setting? Can you imagine daylight coming and is never interrupted with darkness? Such is the gift of life that is offered unto us through Jesus Christ. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, before the foundation of the world was laid, before God created the heavens and the earth, before God made man from dust of the earth and woman from the rib of man, before man was created and life began, God promised the hope of eternal life." Eternal life certainly is a hope. Eternal life is an expectation that each of us can have through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." Do you not hear him knocking at the door of your heart? Do you not hear him urgently pleading for you to let him come in? Do you not desire to sit and sup with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ willingly knocks at the door of our heart. He is not obligated to knock. He is not under debt to invite us to come unto him. He desires that we come because he cares, because he loves, because he has made a sacrifice, and because of the gift that he desires to offer unto us. We must hear and obey. We must hear his knock, and we must open the door of our heart. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If any man will open the door, the obligation to open is ours. The choice to open is ours. Whether or not Jesus Christ is a guest in our heart is determined by our choice. Many choose to allow Christ entrance. Many sit and sup with Christ, and yet many do not. Many choose to reject Christ, and yet Christ calls them. The gospel is preached because Jesus Christ wants us to hear His invitation and open the door of our heart so that He might enter into our life and provide us with eternal blessings. We must hear and we must open. We will only hear the invitation of Christ and open the door of our heart if we realize the need. We must have a realization of the need. We must see that we need Christ. We must view ourselves as who we truly are. We are those who have sinned against God. Jesus Christ wanted the church at Laodicea to see themselves and realize their need. He said, "You really do not know that you are miserable and poor and wretched and blind." They thought that they had arrived at a utopia. They believed that they had come to a place where God was no longer needed, where it was no longer necessary to serve Christ. And yet Jesus presents unto them their need. He shows them who they truly are. Do we understand who we truly are? Do we not see ourselves as wretched, poor, miserable, and blind? Do we not understand the need that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? Do we not understand that we need God, that we must have His salvation, that we must apply the cure to our soul? We are sinful. We are depraved. We are immoral. We need Christ and His redemption. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, at verses 17 through 19, we see a young man who has come to his father, asked for his portion of the inheritance. The father gives him that portion of the inheritance, and this young man goes off into a far country, and the Bible says he wasted his substance in riotous living. May I suggest to you that a life lived in sin is a waste of life. Those who live in sin, those who live in rebellion to God, those who walk astray from the law of God and violate His will, are wasting their existence upon the earth. This young man spends all of his living. He finds himself in a hog pen tending to the swine and even eating the husk that are fed to the swine. The Bible says that no man gave unto him. He is without a friend. He is without any funds. He is without any food. And here is a young man who is tending to swine in the filth and the mire. And the Bible says in Luke 15, 17 through 19, when he came to himself, he looked at his place. He looked to see where he was. He looked to see what was happening to him. We need to see what sin can do to us. We need to understand that sin can destroy us. It can destroy our life here, and it can certainly destroy our soul in the world to come. He came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." This man realized his need of his father's home and his father's companionship, and yes, even his father's rule. We will come to Christ when we realize our need of redemption, our need for grace, and our need to abide in the Father's house. Luke 18:13, Two men have gone up to the temple to pray. The Bible says that one prayed with himself. He saw himself as a righteous man. He saw himself as having no need of God. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man saw himself and his need. We will open the door when Jesus knocks, and we will allow him to enter when we have a realization of the need. We must also have an understanding of what is required. There is a requirement that God has laid upon us. There is a standard that we must meet. There is an obligation that we must accept. Jesus does not simply save us in his mercy, but rather he requires of us certain obedience to his law. Matthew 16:24-26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come unto me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That is a question of great seriousness. What will one give in exchange for his soul? Well, there are those who give pleasure for their soul. There are those who give success for their soul. There are those who give prosperity and wealth for their soul. There are those who trade their soul for absolutely a moment of indulgence in some passion or lust. Jesus said to his disciples, If any man will come unto me, we must make the choice. We must hear the voice of Christ. We must hear the knock of Christ. We must open the door. But what is required? Let him deny himself. I must deny myself. I must realize that Christ must be the Lord of my life. He must be the master of my fate. I must take up his cross. I must accept my responsibility in his kingdom to live a life that is worthy of being a citizen of that kingdom. I must keep myself from the sin and from the passion of the world. I must guard myself against the deceit of Satan and follow me. I must follow Christ. I must walk in the steps of Christ. I must desire to be as Christ. I must accept the yoke that Jesus desires for me to wear. I must have a desire to open and to sup. I see my need. I understand what is required, but I must be willing to open and to sup with Christ. Luke 15:20, going back to the son who was in the swine pen, he arose and came to his father. He got up, he left where he was, and he went home. That's what the church at Laodicea had to do. They had to open the door and let Christ in and sup with him. They had to deny themselves and realize their need of God, their need of his grace and of his redemption. In John 12:20-21, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. You must have a desire in your life to see Jesus. You must have a desire to know Jesus. You must have a desire to follow Jesus. Matthew 8:2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This man came to Jesus because he had an illness that he could not cure, a sickness that was consuming him, and he had a desire to be clean and free from the leprosy that was destroying his body. We must have a desire to be free from the sin that destroys our heart and our life. We must be persuaded of the value. We must understand how valuable supping with Christ is. John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. There is a meat that perishes, and there is a meat that does not perish. We must see the value of that imperishable meat. We must be willing to labor for that meat that is imperishable. For that, we must see the value of our soul. We must see the value of our relationship with God. We must understand what God can do for us and what God can do with us if we're willing to deny ourselves, take up His cross, and follow Him. Matthew 6:20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We must lay aside treasure in heaven, where the moth and the rust doth not consume, and where thieves do not break through and steal. We must lay hold of that imperishable treasure. We must see the value of our soul and the relationship that God is willing to have with us. Jesus said, when he was knocking at the door, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. We must overcome, even as Jesus overcame. Hebrews 4:14-15, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There will be temptation in our life. There will be times of difficulty in our life. There may even be moments when our faith will fail us and doubt will enter into our heart, and we want to cease to run the race and to throw away our relationship with God. But we must understand that we have a great high priest. Jesus has been where we are. He has traveled through the valley just as we must travel through the valley. He has experienced some defeat. We can overcome through Jesus and his power. Hebrews 12:1-3. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must keep our eyes set upon Jesus. We must continue to run the race so that the promise will be granted and the prize will be achieved. Jesus will come in and sit with us, and he offers unto us eternal life. That is the promise. That is the prize. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. But we must continue to run the race of devotion and consecration in service to Jesus Christ if we would have the salvation of our soul. The salvation of our soul is the end of our faith. 2 Peter 1:10-11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we will open the door of our heart and allow Jesus to come in and sup with us, then one day he will open the door of his everlasting kingdom and he will allow us to enter in. An entrance shall be ministered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus knocks at the door of your heart. Jesus says, open the door and allow me to come in and sup with you. Will you not this day accept the invitation of Jesus Christ and become a child of the King, a follower of Christ, a son of the Father? Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.